This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Scott Ridgel, who represents the Old Dominion State's 2nd Congressional District. He joins me now to talk about, yes, the latest twists and turns in the seemingly never-ending debate over the extension of the federal debt ceiling. And Congressman, thank you so much for your time.
Greg, thank you so much.
We've had dueling speeches from the President and the Speaker. Now it appears as though the big fight is over whether perhaps the Boehner plan or the Reid plan will be the framework.
Right.
Where do you stand right now? As I know, inside the House Republican Conference, there's a bit of a difference of opinion on whether the Boehner plan is a good way to go.
Well, there's been a spirited discussion, a spirited debate on the Boehner plan. And I started out, and I think, I don't know how you could start out with anything other than this position, was undecided. I had not seen the bill. It's not like this bill had been around for 2 months or a framework had been around for 2 months or so. This one came to our office at 11:30 at night, and then the next morning I got it and closed my office door, said I need some time, and the staff left me alone. I worked through that. I read the president's speech. I read Speaker Boehner's speech, and you know, just worked through the pros and the cons, and I looked back at my core values and what I had represented to the district, and it took me, frankly, some time to do all of that. But I came to the conclusion this morning that it is really best for our country if we give the president not one, but two ways to vent the pressure in the tea kettle, and cut cap and balance, and also this plan. I think it is, well, frankly, it's imperfect. There is some reluctance here on some matters, but if I look at the entire bill, it's earned my support. I will vote for it, and I have urged my colleagues to do the same.
Do you think it's likely to get enough votes?
Well, what I saw this morning, Greg, was, I think, a bit of a change in momentum. I encouraged leadership yesterday at about a 2 o'clock meeting. You know, they said, you know, how can we convey this to the conference? And I said, my comment was, I'm not yet convinced. I need to know more about the bill. And I'm thankful that I think because of that comment and comments that others have made, they held a special conference last night after last votes and walked through the different elements. The bill's over 50 pages, and I needed to make sure that we weren't going to vote on the bill to understand what's in the bill, if that phrase sounds familiar. And so we worked through each principal aspect and component of the bill, and I reflected on that overnight. And I think that was helpful because it's difficult to be, frankly, for something you don't understand. And once I got to that point, looked at the alternatives, said, this bill's earned my support. And I think that's taking place in the conference. Now, whether we get to 218, I'll leave that up to the whip's office, but my sense is that we will.
What was the bottom line for you, Congressman? You mentioned that you read through the speeches, you read through
right. The
plan, compared it and contrasted it with the principles that you ran on.
Yes.
What absolutely had to be in there and what absolutely had to be out of there before you could get behind it?
Two things come to mind. First is that does it reduce spending? I mean, that is a principal gate that we must get through, and I'm convinced that, in fact, it does. So it is reducing, not just reducing the rate of growth, but reducing spending. The second part, which I think is so critical, I am a businessman. I'm a first-time elected official, 30 years in the business community, 6 months up here in this place. The impact of a credit rating on this great country, coast to coast, and certainly in the 2nd District, must not be discounted. We need to preserve the credit rating of the United States, and in a responsible way, this gives us, I think, the most likely scenario. I did not say guarantee. Note that I can't state what S&P or Moody's is going to do, but I think this is the most viable path to preserving the credit rating of this country, which is in and of itself I think, facilitate or at least not take away from our ability to create jobs. And that is my number one objective in serving the people of the 2nd District.
Well, let me get your reaction now, sir, to some of the other arguments on either side of this debate. First of all, from perhaps the conservative side that's not all that warm yet to the Boehner plan, they say, why not go with cut, cap, and balance? Harry Reid has already promised that the Boehner plan won't get through the Senate either. So as long as we're going to go up there with our best effort, why not stick with that? What do you tell them?
Greg, that's a great, you know, the cut, cap, and balance is a great plan. In fact, it's a better plan than the one that we're talking about right here. That is my preferred alternative. And when you mentioned the conservative side, frankly, if you look at my voting record, unquestionably, I think I fit into that camp. I don't see this as a non-conservative vote. I see this as a vote that does move forward our conservative, and I think common sense, you know, I just look at it that way, fiscal plan. So I don't discount cut, cap, and balance. I think it's what I wanted to pass. But I also have to say what can get done. Now, I won't compromise on the principle. If I didn't feel like the Boehner plan cut spending, if I thought it just perpetuated this inertia that this place has up here, where people are always making short-term decisions and not considering the long-term consequence, frankly, I would have voted no on this. And I have gone against leadership on some very critical votes when my core convictions and principles led me to that conclusion. But on this one, it wasn't the argument of, you know, be a team player. Frankly, that's not persuasive to me. But the logic flow of where we would be with this bill, and then, of course, considering where we'd be without it, it led me to a firm and clear decision to support the bill.
Apparently, the Speaker got a score back from the CBO that was a little bit lower in cuts than he was expecting, so now it's being reworked a little bit. Has he divulged anything to you about what adjustments are being made?
Well, that the CBO report just came out late yesterday, and we addressed that last night in that meeting that I had mentioned, and they also addressed it this morning in conference. And I really believe, and I respect the Speaker for this, there was no sleight of hand on his part whatsoever. Basically, the baseline, and we don't have time to go into all of what that means here, but you know, the baseline we used was January. The baseline that was used by CBO was the March baseline. And the CR cuts that we made earlier actually cut deeper than what we thought initially. So the delta there, the difference, it's an honest difference. It wasn't, we were all like pleasantly surprised that the CR cut more than we thought. So what they're doing right now, and I don't know where they are on this, is to either decrease the debt limit authorization or to increase the cuts in spending. Now, I would like to see them, increase the cuts in spending and still maintain the same debt limit level. That's my view on that. But I don't know how that's going to come out. We'll see here soon.
Real quickly, two of the Democratic points that have been made repeatedly. Harry Reid says his plan gives Republicans your two major goals, cuts greater than the debt ceiling extension, although that also has been downgraded by the CBO to $2.2 trillion instead of $2.7 over 10 years. And he also says there are no revenues, which is a major concession to Republicans as well. Do you get a sense that there's any compromise between the two houses or whether the Reid plan is acceptable to Republicans in any way?
Greg, my understanding is that the certainly in principle and probably even farther along than that, maybe more to the specific framework, that the Boehner plan was agreed to in principle and even to another degree of detail than that. And so what I like about this plan and a clear distinction between the Boehner plan and the Reid plan is that the president must come back and get through some gates before those other tranches are authorized, you know, the other increases in the debt limit. So I think that is a better plan. It doesn't give such a long time horizon, and there's a bit of a more constraint, and I think a reasonable one. So the differences, though subtle, they're significant. And obviously, I'm a strong proponent of the Boehner plan.
Congressman, a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for your time. We look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Virginia Republican Congressman Scott Ridgel represents his state's 2nd Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.